Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Passionate Living. I am here tonight with Rachel Kenley, the acclaimed romance writer. She's a speaker, she's a coach, a radio host herself. And it's such an honor and privilege and pleasure to have her on this night and to be doing this show together. It's Rachel, it's so fabulous to have you here.
Oh, well, thank you for asking me to join you. You know how much I love playing with you. We always have a good time.
Thank you. Well, this show is Passionate Living, and I can't think of a better show for us to be doing together. And it's all the ways to lead and to live a passionate life, how to have a happy life, an unbridled life, a joyful life, a romantic life, a scintillating, a scorching, whatever that is that brings ecstasy and pleasure. And you really are the cherry on the sundae in all of those fields. So it's just such a joy even just to hear your voice here tonight.
Oh, thank you.
So I wanted to ask you, you've had so much going on the last time that I've talked to you, because I think you've been on all my shows and I've been on your shows, and I love that we, you know, are able to share information and talk so openly about things. And I seem to remember you had a new book coming out. I think it was like Cinderella or something, the Glass Stiletto.
I did the Glass Stiletto, which was just, it's so much fun to play in the fairy tale world. And I've been doing some more of those since then. One of the new sort of forbidden pleasures, as it were, in the erotic romance area is step siblings. You know, there's people who kind of potentially grew up with you and know you really well. And there's just a little bit of the forbidden, even though there's nothing actually wrong with it. But it's been a big new sort of subgenre for us. And I thought it'd be fun to play with some of the fairy tales and turn princes and princesses into step siblings. So I did her beastly stepbrother, which was Beauty and the Beast. And I did her stepbrother's Christmas gift, which was the Nutcracker, which I really love doing. And I just turned in, so she'll be coming out in the next few weeks, hopefully, her Frozen stepbrother, which is a retelling of The Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Do you know, Googled you just to like say, okay, you know, what's new and exciting since you and I haven't talked in a while. And it is amazing because you've written so many books. And each and every book, if I'm looking at Amazon for one book or if I'm looking at another book, the intro to you is always so enticing and so alluring. And they're so different. It's like you're a thousand different women, but then I realize that all of the stories you create, you're able to bring all of these emotions and all of these characters and all of these scenarios to life. And I love that. And each and every one is so positive about you and so unique as well, which I just found absolutely fascinating.
Well, I think it's one of the, you know, it's one of the great things when we acknowledge the best of ourselves is to realize we are a lot of different aspects. You know, I sometimes, you know, you have that, you know, superheroes have that secret, quiet, mild-mannered identity. And I feel like that's as much a part of me as anything. You know, I'm an at-home mom. I homeschool my sons. And I'm obviously, you know, and I'm a writer as well. But it's there's so much power when you just embrace all of those things. You know, even when you just embrace the fact that you do the laundry and the dishes and whatever it is. And all of those things make up who we are, and there's no need to deny any of them, whether it's the passionate lover that we are for our the men in our lives or our significant others, whoever that might be, or it's just the person who it's when you tuck the kids into bed. You're all of those things, and it's all valuable and wonderful.
That's amazing. Now, are your sons of dating age?
My older one is, yes, he's 16.
Oh, wow. So have you, you know, taught him about women? Is it different having you as a mom? I mean, do you say, like, this is what women like, or this is what women want, or this is how to treat a lady, or?
I do some of that as far. It's funny, not too long ago, I was thinking, you know, kind of where I was in my relationships and what I had done physically by 16. And I was like, oh, my God. I wonder, no, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to go there. Mostly, I find myself helping him with communication. more than anything else. He is seeing somebody, and it's weird having a nearly, you know, an adult perspective on a 16-year-old's conversations. They take a lot of things wrong. They misinterpret. And then you add the fact that they're texting, which takes off, you know, tone of voice and makes it even harder. And so I'm finding I'm sort of interpreting girl speak for him. You know, when his girlfriend says something, I'm like, well, she may mean this or she may mean that. So get a little clearer.
And then that's so funny. I was just recently in Las Vegas and I spent the weekend with some friends and they have a teenage son.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked them if they had talked to their son about girls and gave their son any advice. And they said, we told him you only need to know four things. And they said, you only have to remember these four things. Nice shoes, nice hair, I understand, and don't you hate it when that happens?
That will get you out of a lot. It really will.
I thought that was so funny. They're like, girls like to be complimented. So nice shoes, nice hair. I understand. And don't you hate it when that happens? And they said, and he does so well with the girls.
Yeah, I've told him mostly. I'm biased, but he's always been, both of my sons, I think, are totally adorable. And he came home once when he was young and mentioned that there was a girl in his class he thought had a crush on him, but he wasn't sure that he liked her as anything just more than a friend. And I said, you know, you don't have to like somebody because they like you. You don't even have to like somebody just because they're in your family or, you know, you're on a team together. I said, but being kind and being thoughtful, no matter what, will get you far. You know, we'll smooth things over.
That's such great advice. And now, do you use your husband as a character in any of your stories?
You know, I do. I chose a man who I truly think is a hero. He is a valiant man. He's a good man that even when I have those moments when I could scream or, you know, lash out, and I have, I mean, human, absolutely, I can always go back to knowing that he is a person who I chose, and people find this ironic, it's not that I didn't and don't love him, I do, but I chose him because of who I knew I could always be with him, which for me has to do with being your best, being your worst, striving, failing, trying again. This was a man with whom I could go for all of my dreams, even the ones I didn't know of yet.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I mean, that's really beautiful.
Thank you. And I think that aspect does come through. I hope it comes through in most of my heroes. And certainly it's something that, you know, I think a lot of my heroine's journey is about, is finding out who they are and then discovering that this person that they're with supports that wholeheartedly.
Just saying that, like, there's an energetic wave that's just rushing through me. I think that's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard somebody say in a partner, that they've empowered you in such a way that the undiscovered parts of you are coming to life.
Yes. You know, the love is, you know, people have said it's a verb, you do it. It's certainly a feeling that you have. But just like us, it changes over time. And I'm always somebody who's thought of romance and love as the frame, but not the heart of the picture. It makes it better, but it's not always everything. There are moments, and there are moments in any relationship where you don't like some, heck, there's moments in my relationship with myself I don't like myself so much. Those are always going to be a part of it. One of the things I always tell people when I'm speaking, and I've told my kids this, you know, if relationships were easy, there'd be a huge section of Barnes & Noble missing. They're not. They're just not. And
That's so fabulous. And I
Isn't
know we're
it true
just.
though? And being with somebody and not only choosing a partner this way, but you know, as many of my friends as possible too, who can just, you know, accept you for the highs, the lows, and all the new craziness that comes up.
That just sounds so special and such a beautiful way to live. And I know we're jumping to a break. When we come back, I'd love to talk to you about the writer's business school that you're doing.
Oh,
And
yes, absolutely.
also, I found this article that said 25 things you may or may not want to know. I would love to dive into as well. So more with Rachel Kinley, myself, Nicole Brandon, when we return here on Passionate Living on BBS. It's Nicole Brandon, and I'm back with Rachel Kinley. We are here on Passionate Living, talking about romance, romantic writing, and relationships, and heroes, and true love. And right before the break, you were talking about the man that you married and the man that you chose and the love that has opened in your life and how his love even opened pieces and bits and parts of you that you didn't even know existed before. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful definitions of love that I've ever been witness to. And I just wanted to thank you for that, because I think that's really beautiful.
You know, it's hard in those moments of great emotion to also try to be, for lack of a better word, logical. You know, you have to actually find a way to be smart in the midst of the fairy tale and the happiness and that sort of incredible junk feeling. But, you know, when you're making a decision to make a lifelong, what you hope will be a lifelong commitment, and in our case, to add children to that, you need a little touch of the grounded along with the head in the clouds. And it's not an easy balance to strike. I think it's one of the things that I in the romances that I love, that's something that will always appeal to me about a heroine, is one who can both sort of fly away with that kind of joy and get carried away, but also remembers the importance of kind of keeping your feet on the ground and really looking at this person for who they are and how they treat you and how they treat others. Because it's going to come into play. It's going to be important.
You know, as we're talking about this, I know that you have the Writers Business School. Mm-hmm. And so are you teaching people how to write or helping people craft? And if so, do you share what you're sharing right now? Like, this is how love is crafted, or this is how romance is crafted?
It's wild. You know, when you realize that, you know, I spend a career writing about the unwritable, about, you know, words, that about feelings, and it's so hard to come to words. But actually, the Writers Business School is almost the flip. There's so many great sites out there and great writers organizations and conferences to go to help you become a better writer. And most of the writers I know, both published and yet to be published, spend an outrageous amount of time and commitment learning their craft. You know, the number of stories we've written that will never see the light of day, that should never see the light of day, the stories we've started and stopped, the ones that have gotten us stuck and make us pull our hair out, it's an incredible amount of time. It's a huge commitment to decide to write a book or a short story or anything. But then there's this other aspect, which is actually getting the book into the hands of readers. And that's why it's called best-selling author. You know, if you want to be a best writing author and you want a Pulitzer, that's awesome, but that's a separate goal. Unfortunately, most writers don't really understand the business side of things, which is unfortunate, because then these great books, fiction and nonfiction, these great visions and dreams and characters and passions are not getting to the readers who will be moved by it. So what we do at the Writers Business School is teach the business of business, is teach writers how to develop a platform that will support them and create a bridge to the readers, because nobody wants to feel like they're being sold. But you, and this goes back obviously to what I write, but you do want a connection. You want a connection with your, you know, movie stars and your authors and, you know, the little restaurant down the street that knows your name. And you go there more often than any place, in part because there's a connection. And excuse me, what we do is work with writers to show them how to create that bridge, whether it's through their blogs, their web presence, the work they do with their readers, how they connect even with their publishers, and how they choose to launch their books, so that they're reaching that audience who's going to go, yes, I've wanted to read something about this, or I need this more about this topic, or I love this, you know, theme, whatever it is. But we don't want them, you know, there's a horrible statistic out there that says that over 90% of all books written sell less than 100 copies.
That's incredible. I mean, that's insane.
It's terrible. And again, that's fiction and nonfiction, but that means a lot of people's blood, sweat, and tears. And as I said, these great, you know, these great visions, these great passions, these great focuses aren't getting read by the people who could most benefit from them.
So that's what we want. School. So Is it, it's an online school or
It's
program?
online. Everything's done either, online webinars. We are starting to have audio downloads so that if you can't make the times, you can buy the class and listen to it in your own time. And so everything's done with sort of, you call in and there's the presentation and I'm there, or my partner's there and we teach and we answer questions and we help you build on the skills you need so that, as you've increased your writing ability, now you can increase your audience reach. And we want them to see that it does have creative aspects, because most of them think business, or a lot of them think business, is terrible and dry. But also, thank goodness, it's repeatable, it's learnable, and each time you just get better. And you can grow and reach more and more readers.
That's awesome. And we're talking about blogging earlier. Is there a blogging aspect in the Writers Business School as well?
Absolutely. We actually have a blog tour class that starts tomorrow. If any of you listening actually are interested, the Writers Business School is at thewritersbusinessschool.com, which has got three S's in a row. I think eventually we may change it to Writers B School so people can type it better. And just click upcoming courses. There's an blog tour basics class, and it's awesome. It's how to create a blog tour for your book, fiction or nonfiction, how to make sure it's going well, reaching the audience you want, and then how to make sure it worked, how to kind of look at it from a bottom line point of view so that the next time you do even less work and get even more results. So, actually, for listeners, if you're listening, give you a little hint. If you want to do the blog tour basic class and you go and you check out, it's $74. It's three classes, three Wednesdays in a row. If you put in the code intro, you'll get $25 off. It'll only be $49 for the three classes.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's really incredible.
We
And I
really,
think.
really want to reach as many writers as we can because we want their books. I know what I put into my books. The time it takes, the thought it takes, the time away from my family it sometimes takes. When you've made this commitment, you want to get it into the hands of the readers who are going to just love it and benefit from it and connect with it the way you did when you wrote it. So that's our goal.
That's great. And Rachel, please send me the information as well, because I would love to get it out there, because I know so many writers,
Oh, absolutely.
internationally and all over the world. And so many people, even just cross-genre, someone like myself, I've written 32 books or television shows or screenplays, and even stepping into the blogging world is a brand new world. It's like learning how to drive a stick shift or something, when you're used to an automatic car for
You
all
know what,
these
though,
years.
Nicole, it is a lot like that. Once you can get it out of first gear, it's not so bad. It's getting that first gear into that first gear that's really important. So yes, www.writersbusinessschool.com, and you'll see at the top bar there's a link that says upcoming courses, and in there you'll see blog tour basics. So absolutely, it's I write fiction, but I also have some nonfiction books that I'm working on. This is for just writers. If you've got a book, you want it out there. This is your passion, your desire. I mean, this is what we're talking about. You wrote this book for a reason. You were inspired, you were moved, and there are people who want that message. Whatever it is you wrote about, they want it.
I love that. And I know that we're jumping to a break in just a minute. And when we come back, I want to talk about your radio show. I listen to radio all the time and always talk radio. It's so funny that I'm just either I'm listening to Broadway station or I'm listening to talk radio. And not just to hear other hosts or to see what's out there, but I love the emotion. I love the passion. I love the way information is portrayed. And of all the shows I've ever listened to, yours is my favorite. I love listening to you on the radio. I really do. And I love the way that you share. There's just something, it's like going to Disneyland or something, or you're just going on this great date, or there is an anticipation before your show that builds up, and there is an excitement like this is going to be so much fun. And so I would love to talk about your show and all of your hosting and your guests and everything that you're doing. I mean, you're so multifaceted to me. And I love that the fact that it's like the branch of a tree and that you have your romance writing and that you're helping people write and that you're able to host and that you're able to give and care and, you know, be such a great mom and share all of the things you do in such a special and beautiful way. So it's riveting to me, and it's just always so much fun to know you and to follow your life and your career and your craft. So it's wonderful. So when we come back, more with Rachel Kinley talking about Hump Day and her hosting and radio show, and of course, all of her incredible work that's out there for you to read, to learn, love, romance, passion, and maybe find those pieces that you didn't know existed in your very own heart.
She spins and she sways to whatever song plays without a care in the world. And I'm sitting here wearing the weight of the world on my shoulders. It's been a long day and there's still work to do. She's pulling at me saying, Dad, I need you. There's a ball at the castle and I've been invited, and I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. All too soon, the clock will strike midnight, and she'll be gone. She says he's a nice guy, and I'd be impressed. She wants to know if I approve of the dress. She says, Dad, the prom is just 1 week away, and I need practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I will dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. She came home today with a ring on her hand, just glowing and telling us all they had planned. She says, Dad, the wedding's still 6 months away, but I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I will dance with Cinderella while she is here in my arms. I know something the prince never knew. Oh, 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 I will dance with Cinderella. I don't wanna miss even one song. 'Cause all too soon the clock will strike. She'll be gone.
Hi, it's Nicole Brandt, and we are back on Passionate Living with Rachel Kenley, talking about romance and love, authorship, heroship, and how to follow your heart, your visions, and your dreams. And just before the break, we were talking, Rachel, about your radio show, and I was sharing that of all the radio shows that I've had the opportunity to listen to, which has been plentiful through the years, that my favorite is yours. And it really is. I've just always enjoyed your show. And I love that you have the O spot. I love that you have it on hump day. And I guess I wanted to ask so many questions, but first, what was the impetus for creating this show? Because it seems like many years ago, do you know who Jewel is, the singer?
Oh, yes.
I remember that Jewel, when she first came out, she was singing in coffee shops, and somebody heard her and they wanted to release an album, and they only wanted to have a little tiny, you know, release of the album because nobody knew who she was. She was this girl from Alaska living in her car, singing in a coffee shop. And her mom thought, well, if they did this tiny little release, the album's never going to be popular. And her mom was thinking that when she was a little girl, that they had the best backyard. And all the kids in the neighborhood used to play in Jewel's backyard. And her mom decided what we need to do is create the best backyard that everybody will want to play in. And that's what they did, was instead of pushing her, they created this space that everybody wanted to play in. And she became what we know as an overnight success, which, of course, there is not an overnight success. But I never forgot that. And I always think of the O spot and your show as the best backyard. The place that everybody wants to play in.
I love that description. It's kind of how I feel about it. I've been doing the show now almost a year and a half. And it's funny, I can still remember my first few weeks. I was so nervous. I practically scripted my entire show to be read and to be prepared, you know, good writer. And it's funny, it came about in a couple different ways, one of which is because in part of what I write, I get one of two different reactions. Oh, I don't read romance, people who brush it aside. And then the other half of which are people who ask me, well, why? Why do I write romance? And I really found myself over time, because my first book came out in 2007, stopping and thinking, why do I write about relationships? And I truly love what we learn about ourselves when there are relationships in our lives, new ones, adult ones, ones with children, whatever they are, any new relationship will help us to see something new about ourselves. And in a romantic relationship, that just seems to be heightened. And then I started to look more at what was important to me, not just what I wrote, but who I am. You know, you see a lot of things that say, you know, what, you know, who are you in the world and what are you here to take a stand for? And I started looking at kind of what my friends called me. You know, why they would say, oh, you know, call Rachel. She's the one to talk to about this. And it wasn't writing. It was about basically feeling empowered as a woman, feeling sexually empowered. And that's not just in the bedroom. I mean, let's face it, Mae West and Audrey Hepburn were women who I would think of as being very fully authentic, very fully empowered, including sexually empowered. And it was never about the bedroom, although May does allude to it a lot. And I realized that that was this incredible part of being a woman that somehow along the line had lots of reasons, but had become devalued. And I knew that what I really wanted was to begin to take a stand for bringing and accepting that personal value, for being, you know, we look at women and we say, you know, you want to be emotionally empowered and you want to be financially empowered. And there's all these ways we do things to better ourselves. But then there's this other very feminine part that we tend not to look at. And it's a place where when a lot of us were young, we started to disconnect from our desires, whether it was to eat a piece of cake because we thought we should be thin, whether it was to give our opinion so that we, you know, could fit in. And once you start connecting from one or two desires, it becomes an unfortunate habit. And so I realized that what I wanted to take a stand for is desire, is finding those things, that want that's wrapped up in emotion. You know, it's not just, I want a cookie. It's, I want, it's that heart's desire that we all deserve to have, and that too many people, and to me, as a woman, that's where I see it most, haven't connected. It's why I love your passionate living. That's what it's all about. And too many of us have taken steps to disconnect from that, whether we're afraid to be vulnerable or something happened that disempowered us in our past. Taking back that power of desire is vital, because desire has great value.
I love that. It's one of my favorite words. There's something when you hear desire, or you see it on a page, or it's in the middle of a sentence, or you see it in somebody's eyes or feeling or thought, or there's, it does something. It opens the soul and the senses in such a different way. And even you look at people who have had tragic childhoods and have been through circumstances that some people never should even know about, let alone to witness and go through, but yet they may have a desire to achieve something, to become something, to create something that is stronger than any will or any barrier or any hurdle or any wall. And that desire takes them to this whole other world where their visions and dreams come true.
Absolutely. It is, you're right. It is one of, I agree with you, it's one of my absolute favorite words. I think it's one of the reasons I come back to looking at fairy tales, because ultimately what sends our main character on their quest is the desire for something different, something new, or something that they've always longed for that for some reason they haven't gotten to yet. And desire doesn't have to, you know, it's funny, you know, you think about, you know, what do you want to see in the world? And then we all start sounding like beauty queens. Well, world peace. You know, and that's lovely. But, you know, I knew somebody whose greatest desire was to see people eat, you know, enjoy their food more. She didn't want to see people rushing through meals. And so that's what she took a stand for. The woman who started Bliss Spas, which has this incredible following now, and an awesome product line, she wanted women to be able to look in the mirror and like their skin. I mean, I love that. Dylan Lauren, who's Ralph Lauren's daughter, fell in love with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when she was a kid, the Gene Wilder movie. And she wanted, her greatest desire was to live in that big, giant, edible room. And you know what? She grew up to run a company called Dylan's, it's called Dylan's Candy Bar. And the website is just a riot of color and goodies and sweets. You could go into a diabetic shock just visiting the website. And she's living her dream of basically living in the Willy Wonka factory. And then she has an additional passion, which is helping animals. So she has Dylan's Candy Barn and a certain group of product sets that go to help animals. You know, you don't have to have some lofty or what you think sounds right to people, end world hunger, you know, create world peace. It needs to be the desire that speaks to you.
That's so beautiful. I know we're jumping to break in just a minute here, but can you tell me how do people, I mean, I know personally how to find your radio show for all the new people today that are listening to you. They're saying, I want to go to that O Spot thing. And I
Come to the O Spot. I am live on, as Nicole said, Hump Day, Wednesdays, 10 o'clock Eastern. It's on Om Times Radio, so you can find me there. And you can actually jump over there anytime because we have the archived recordings. So anytime you need to connect with your desire and remember how valuable and important it is, you know, come on by owntimes.com, and you can search by my name, or you can search by the O Spot, and you'll find me there. And as I said, live on Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Live on Wednesdays. And it's such a fantastic show. And when we come back, I just really would love to talk about the world today and the romance and love. We just had Valentine's Day. And so many people wait for that day to tell somebody they love them or to have a romantic evening. Mm-hmm. Or to create a romantic scenario in their life. So when we come back, as we wrap up the show, I would love to talk to you about ways that you think we can create that in our lives all the time.
And oh, absolutely.
I'd love to pick your brain some more with Rachel Kinley when we come back here on Passionate Living.
I try to understand and make your world much better than it was on your own. You say you trust in me, but you're making me pay for what he's done before. So you push me away. You don't know the things you'll say. So you push me away. You don't know this game you're playing. You know we got love. You know we got love. So maybe just talk to me. Tell me what is going on. You won't accept and see that I'm standing before you honestly and giving you more. What more could you ask of me when you won't get past your history? These issues are yours. Thank you.
Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with Rachel Kinley, talking about romance and love and passion, her incredible books and fairy tales, and her latest book, The Glass Stiletto, her radio show, The O-Spot, on Hump Day, on Times, and we're talking about relationships with her family and desire. So it's like the smorgasbord of love and joy, happiness, bliss, wonderment, and all things good and beautiful. It really is. And so, Rachel, what's the best way for people to find your books? I mean, I love going just to Amazon to read each little blurb about each story and about
that's
you.
Best way.
Is it?
Yeah. It's my favorite way to find new authors, too, sometimes, because I'll go and I'll find one I like, and then below it says, you know, people who bought this also liked. Yeah, Amazon's definitely the best single place. I was just asked about my website, and unfortunately it's down. It's rachelkenley.net. I had some issues with my .com folks, but it will be up shortly. But yeah, Amazon's always the best, and I have an author page there. And because I write for more than one publisher, it's also a nice sort of central location where everything that's currently available can be found.
That's wonderful. So, and you're blogging as well. So
yeah.
That's just beautiful. And right before the break, we were talking about Valentine's and this one special day that people put so much energy and effort into buying gifts and buying flowers and going to dinner and taking baths and having sex or whatever. They go to hotels or they feel like on that day they need to celebrate love or that their partner will think less of them if they don't make it romantic or don't make it scorching. And what about that Tuesday or that Thursday or that hump day Wednesday? What are suggestions that you might have for being able to keep that romance and that love alive?
You know, I'm one of those people, remember I said, you know, love wasn't my only motivator for my marriage. I'm one of those people who's never just gotten into the Valentine's Day thing for the very reasons you mentioned. People end up with so much pressure to do it right or not make a mistake or do what the other person wants perfectly. And the truth is you are not going to be perfect. It's just not going to happen. You know, you're going to... Romance and love and desire and sex is messy. You know, it's human in sometimes in the best sense of the word. And because of that, it gets all screwed up. And I think sometimes that the best way to be romantic is just to be honest. You know, there are times when a hug is the absolute best thing you can give the person in your life or ask for when you want it. I mean, being able to ask for what you want, and this connects very much with passionate living. You know, if you've forgotten or lost track of or stopped listening to yourself, you know, it breaks my heart to know that there are people who don't even know how to just ask for a hug or can you listen to me? Can you hold my hand during the movie? For me, one of the most wonderful things my husband does for me is he takes the boys out or he sends me off to go to some of the writing conferences and retreats and conventions that I do. It's doing the things that support us, that fill us up. Love and connection is supposed to fill us up. And that needs to be done all the time. And you need to know yourself. You need to just really love the good, the bad, and the ugly about you so that you can kind of get what you need when you need it. Mm. Don't get me wrong. Chocolates and flowers are great. I love them. But don't assign them to a day. You know, I don't, may not need them on Valentine's Day. May need them a few weeks later.
That's funny because I was just thinking about this blog that I remember that you wrote, I think it was 25 sexually explicit things you may or may not want to know. And so as you're talking about keys or tools or advice for the everyday and for relationships at all stages from mm-hmm. beginning or people that have been married many years that are looking to deepen their intimacy or step into relationship in a new way, or for like your kids that are just starting to date and find new love. There's so many different levels of that desire that I just, for me, it's just incredibly fascinating that you're able to take this incredible palette of human consciousness and human love and bring it to life in your stories just so vividly, just with so much feeling and emotion and adventure and curiosity and playfulness and joy all at the same time.
And it is all of that. You know, it's not all of that all the time. Thank God, I suppose. I think we'd all short circuit if it were. I'm as big a fan of not going anywhere for a whole day or even a whole weekend as I am of, you know, of travel, which I love as well. But it's a matter of just being willing to be really honest with yourself. And I think there's a level of self-trust and self-vulnerability that people lose sometimes as early as, you know, we talked about, you know, my sons, you know, sometimes as early as your teens, where being emotional, I grew up in a household where being very emotional was not really a good idea. Tried to keep everything very even keel. You know, it was either calm or yelling, and, you know, I didn't want to get yelled. So I got really quiet in some ways, and I got quiet emotionally. And then as an adult, I realized that is not who I am. And it took a little work to kind of undo some of the things I taught myself. You know, whatever, if you are older and you're finding that that concept of being self-vulnerable scares you, it's okay. You know, shows like Nicole's and mine and other ones out there on this, that's, and then the books, that's what they're there for, to remind us that, you know, being, knowing yourself, that kind of intimacy is precious. It's amazing. And it is empowering. You know, some of my books, you mentioned The Glass Stiletto, it says it's a BDSM fairy tale, a kinky fairy tale. And when people ask me about the kink community, which I first discovered when I was in my early 20s, people have this, you know, these images of, you know, latex and ridiculously high-heeled shoes and whips and gags and masks and things that look very, very frightening. And the truth is that when I tell them that what you have to do is be extremely honest with your partner, you have to have a lot of communication and about as much trust as humanly possible, that's what scares them. That is much scarier than a blindfold or a gag. But it's also more revealing and it's more worthwhile, because the blindfolds and the handcuffs, those get put away. The connection, the intimacy, the trust, that gets to last.
Wow. That's fantastic. That really is. And I know we're coming to the top of the hour, and the information you share is just so pure and so perfect and so enriching. And one of my favorite things I love to do to ask on my shows is whatever the title of the show is. And this show is Passionate Living. And so thinking about passionate living, what does leading and living a passionate life personally mean to you?
I think it goes back to one of the first things we discussed, which is desire. Knowing what you desire and accepting that completely, without judgment, without reservation, without wondering what anybody else thinks of it. It comes solely from you and just shines out when you can tap into it. And the more you can, the more you do get to live a passionate life.
Mm. That's wonderful. It's truly just spectacular. And it's always such a joy talking with you. I love your material. I love your information. I love your heart, your spirit, and your soul, and your enthusiasm, which is infectious in a way. It's just, it's something that just you want to be part of. It's like a kite. You just want to go soaring with you and you want to play. And it's such a fabulous place to be, and all of your work. And as we wrap up the show, two things I wanted to ask you. One is just any quick advice for young writers wanting to get into this market that are maybe afraid to say, this is embarrassing, or if I put this down, will people read it, or they think of me or my mind, or is
yeah,
there
jump.
Any grace pill you can give people?
Yeah. Yeah, just, I know it's scary. I get that. For years, I wrote and didn't submit. It took me almost 20 years of writing before I actually was willing to submit something to a publisher. So keep going. If this is your dream, you know, you'd know if there's so many easier ways to make a living if that's what moves you. If writing is what moves you, there's a reason. You have something to say, and there are people who will love to hear it. So keep going. Absolutely. And find me on Facebook, Rachel Kenley. You are welcome to chat with me about writing, anybody out there, anytime. I love it. I love inspiring new writers because I was blessed to have people who inspired me.
Well, it's been wonderful having you with us. And Writers Business School, the blog tour, the O-Spot show, your blogs, rachelkenley.net.
I'm exhausted. Listen to this about me.
You're doing it. I know. I'm so excited to read Glass Letter too. So that's my very next book. And it's just always such a joy having you here.
Thank you.
And so for Rachel Kenley and for myself, Nicole Brandon, we are wishing you a passionate life, a happy life, a joyful life, and one where each and every one of your wishes and your dreams come true.